Travis Live. That was not on my bingo card today, baby. He killed a guy. I mean, I just killed a guy, man. Called the cops and waited for him to get there. That's what he did. Yeah, but he out, though.
Boy, that escalated quick.
And that turned. That reminds me.
He started with peeing on his foot, Fred, trying to cure his
ass. I'm telling you, man. Yeah, a lot of things would have. Hell, he killed a guy. Damn.
Damn sure
did.
How
the hell we get there?
Uh-huh.
Hey, it reminds me, man. That just turned so dark. I was at a trunk or treat, and I put him out there. The old Gaines is sitting there talking. I said, man, can you believe, man? We're up against this Halloween next week. We're up against the holiday season, man. Thanksgiving's coming, Christmas. She said, man, you're not kidding, man. It's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, then it's New Year's, then we have to sit down and realize that we didn't achieve any of the goals that we achieved, and then we're just completely depressed going into the next year.
Whoa.
I said, damn, Kelly, I was just thinking about the
holiday season.
Good Lord.
Oh, my God.
Her husband turned around, looked at her, and said, damn.
Is it that bad?
She said, yeah, Christmas and God, then you get to New Year's and start thinking, damn, I didn't accomplish any of my goals that I set for 2024. Now I just said, doggone it, man.
Yeah, boy, this is starting that run for me. November, December, January, February. It's expensive.
Oh, I love it.
Expensive love 4 months for me. We got Granny's birthday coming up here first week of November.
Mm.
Lowe's birthday is the 15th.
I hate to tell you.
Lainey was born on the 2nd. December.
That's my birthday. That's right. I forgot me and daughter got the same birthday.
Yeah. Yep. Got a Christmas obviously in there. Then my birthday. And I got an anniversary in there. We got Valentine's Day in there. And Liv was born in February.
Yeah, you took it to February. You got several.
I'm telling
months.
You, it's November, December, January, February. That quarter right there of the year. Woo.
Yep. Mine's December. All my kids were born from December to March.
Hmm.
Yeah, you're in that run. But January to March, excuse me, in that run. But no, man, it should be fun. We're getting closer and closer to the Christmas movie season, baby. Get home, go watch Home Alone, Home Alone 2, Christmas Vacation. Can't wait, baby. Getting close. Think about the good things. All right, there are some good things. One, the Houston Texans look to go to 7-2 tomorrow as primetime action, the only game that is in town and on TV. You will have it. You will be in New York Halloween night, Thanksgiving, and there is some news and notes. You can join the show. You know you can. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, hello. How you doing? Those of you on the 5-Hour Energy Fan text line, you can text in 713-572-4610 and hang out with us as well. But I want to get the latest news. The injury report is out, and they already have designations. And, Clint, there are four guys that are declared out of this game already. Azeez Alshire, who returned to practice yesterday with that knee, did not practice. What is this, Tyler? Is this three straight games that Azeez has missed?
I believe that is correct. Yes,
I believe
sir.
Now three straight games from Azeez Alshire. He is out for this game. Then Jarrett Patterson, no real surprise there with the concussion. He is still in protocol. He is out for this game. And then Damian Pierce, who returned the last couple of weeks, had a big return. You talked about it earlier this week, how big a return that was to kick off the game. He is out with a groin issue, and that's after he missed three or four games already this season with a hamstring issue. Now he is out with a groin issue. And then Jimmy Ward, who practiced yesterday just like Azeez Alshire, Jimmy Ward with that groin, he's going to miss another game. That's about four for him that he has missed with that groin. So four out and two on defense, two on offense. Alshire and Jimmy Ward on defense. And then Jarrett Patterson and Damian Pierce out. Kalen Bullock is full and no designation. Kamari Lassiter full, no designation, as well as Henry Toa, who has missed the last two games with a concussion. So he should be back to play tomorrow, Clint. But there was some hope with Ward and Alshire that they would be able to go since they practiced yesterday, but that obviously is not happening.
Yeah, look, the positive here is what's big for the Texans. Kalen Bullock dodging a bullet of him being limited or not being able to go with Jimmy Ward already out. He's good. Kamari Lassiter, obviously coming off of injury last week, playing the entire game. Had that little bit of a shoulder issue, but Monday, Tuesday was full, although Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday being full. This is all walkthrough stuff because of the short week. But those two guys right there on the defensive side of the football, along with Henry Toa Toa being full all week long, no limit, no nothing, no limit soldier, no limit, no nothing for Henry Toa Toa, that the defense is getting Toa Toa back along with week two of Devin White right there at that linebacker position. So things looking up on the defensive side of the football, that's for sure.
In honor of what Clint had to say there, those of you on YouTube and Twitch and the 5-Hour Energy Fan Hotline, you can text in your favorite member of No Limit. Who is your favorite member of No Limit? Mystical was serious business there.
Without a doubt.
You got a little trouble.
You get the first run ahead. Sick and tired of being sick and tired.
For some
you got
reason,
a problem with me getting high? What can you do, Tyler? You don't even know.
As I step back now, as I'm older, as I step back now, as I'm older, for some reason, that Charger to the Game, Silk the Shocker album was something that really got it, but he is not a great MC now that I've gotten older. But, boy, Fing was nice, too. Mia X Strong. So there's a lot of members there. Your favorite member of No Limit. All right, Clint, as you sit there, man, there's some things to watch out for. Henry Toa Toa, that's good. You feel good about your linebackers. Devin White, who was added last week, played a lot. That slides Jake Hansen back to special teams and the place in the way that he needs to go. And we'll see what happens the rest of the way. Obviously, there are some questions with the injuries and the poor play, but we'll look at that moving forward. All right, Clint, I think this is a good thought that you had here, and I think the people can obviously jump in and add their two cents to it. 8 games in, it's crazy, Clint. 8 games in, this team is 6-2. Atop the AFC South by, it says 2 games, but really it's 3 games with the sweep of the Indianapolis Colts. You got a firm idea what this team's identity is, especially offensively? You got a firm identity?
I don't know what their identity is. When you look at what they do well and then what they choose to do, if you look at where they struggle and the fact that they choose to ignore those struggles and they still choose to put C.J. Stroud in harm's way early on multiple times, I don't know what the identity is. But I know...
Damn, did you ever think you'd...
No. I damn sure didn't think I would have to ask that question at this point in time in the season and it'd be flip-flop from what I thought it would be. I thought at this point in the season the identity of this football team, and I was asking for it. Hey, this C.J. Stroud-centric football team. Hey, you got 2 tackles that are highest paid tackles in the game. Let's snap the football, protect C.J. Stroud, and let him spin around the park. You got a 5-headed monster. You got all these skill guys that are supposed to be elite. He's supposed to be one of the best receiving cores in the league. Let's let these guys eat. Well, we've played 8 games this year, and I am in the exact opposite spot. Now, it's pretty obvious with no Nico, no Steph Diggs, this week what you need to do. Now, I say that, and I still am not sure what Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans are going to decide to do offensively. I believe that last week would have been a perfect time for you to come out of the chutes and establish the run, and everything plays off of the run, but they came out and they threw it 12 of the first 16 snaps. As you said, when Kenyon Green went back in there after the touchdown that Jarrett Patterson was in there on that drive, Kenyon Green goes back in. What did they do? Threw it 10 of 15 snaps, something like that. So he had 26 attempts at halftime, and he had gotten – you benched an offensive lineman. CJ had been hit several times. And so I thought last week would be a really, really great time for them to kind of shift a little bit in terms of what they know they do well, and they didn't do it. Where we sit this week, short week, you lose Diggs. Your protection wasn't any better last week. In fact, by the numbers, you got pressured more last week than you did against Green Bay. And the one consistent is that Joe Mixon went out there once again and went for 100 and is clearly the best player on this offense right now. And it is very simple to turn around and get the ball in his hands when you run the football. So, look, I think the identity of this team, I've said it multiple times, I'm leaning even more into it right now. They're going to play really good defense. They got the defense side of this thing figured out. But I believe they got to lean into that run attack, Ron, a little bit heavily. And I'm talking about from a play-calling perspective, not a in-game box score perspective. It's especially with no Diggs and no Nico, this is the time on prime time to lean into your best player on offense, which is Joe Mixon right now.
But with Nico, you think that's still the case, don't you? If when Nico returns, do you...
I don't think there's anybody you can add or at the trade deadline or get healthy, including Nico, that would tell me that right now this football team should go into a game and call 12 passes in the first 16 plays. It's absolutely not. You are setting guys up to fail. You are setting guys up to fail.
You ever watch Bobby?
And I'm going to tell you what. I hadn't got to the whole thing, but watch a little bit of that film.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, I'm going to tell you, if you're watching the same thing I'm watching, when Nico ain't in the game, you ain't got a whole lot of cats creating separation there. So, I mean, it's you're missing opportunities now. And I don't know that there's any reason on God's green earth why this football team should throw the football 12 of the first 16 times.
As people are texting in, what's the identity of this team? Clint, run the football and play defense. And if we look at what they have done this year, that is probably the two things they have done best thus far. Someone text in, I know the identity, Ben, but don't break defense with a competent run game. Kind of similar to what you've said, although I don't think it's been bend but do not break defense. I think they've been a little more risk oriented. I'm being drugged to the table with this one. It is hard for me to accept that with CJ Stroud on this team.
I feel you.
It is hard for me to accept that with CJ Stroud and Nico Collins and Tank Dell that this is, and Laremy Tunsil, I'm just bringing that up because of how good of a pass protector he is, that this is a run it and play defense team. That this is not a, hey, you know, hey, we've got a quarterback that can go get it done. That this team is a team that it at some point probably, I'm almost to a point I just won't accept it. I just refuse to, that this team is a team that, hey, you may be in a better shot if you run it more than you throw it.
You're going to get hit hard if you're playing against us.
Like, I feel like it should, it doesn't, David Culley say, this doesn't compute. This doesn't compute with me that, hey, man, Bobby Slowick can't. It is not in the team's best interest for Bobby Slowick to come out and say, "Hey, I want to get the ball in CJ's hands and have him make decisions and get it out today." I just refuse to accept it. I just don't want to.
Well, you may be right, Ron. It's only week nine, Chief.
I think by Bobby's play calling, he refuses
as well. I mean, look, this if we're being completely honest, what we've seen. And there's no denying this. I mean, anybody can. Hell, I want to, but I just can't do it any longer. I mean, we can hang on to what CJ did last year and what this offense looked like last year. And we can hang on and hope when Nico comes back that Nico can do enough.
You know the answer to that.
But when it's all said and done, to continually go out there with a young quarterback and an offensive line that can't protect him, and right now you're undermanned at your skill position, to continually go out there and put that offensive line in a situation where they got to protect 12 out of 16 plays, 26 times in the first quarter. That was the attempts. I can't remember how many sacks he had, so I think there was probably more than that, 28 or 30. So to continue to do that, Ron, is there's a lot of risk associated with it. And to continue to do it while you have Joe Mixon back there that clearly is making – I mean, these guys are better up front in the run game, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot in that run game, Ron, where Joe is just running by unblocked defenders. It's impressive. I mean, he is – you've got the ability. Last year he didn't have it. A lot of teams don't have it. You have the ability to protect your young quarterback, more importantly, to protect your offensive line that can't protect as well as we thought they'd be able to protect, to allow, you know, to still move the ball, shorten the game, play good defense. I'm telling you, man, that's right now that just makes a whole hell of a lot more sense than what I watched last week.
From the text line, Y'all are dumb. This is the Kubiak Shanahan system. It's run first, then pass. I thought you all were smarter than that. Show it's Ron. Acting surprised by Kubiak's offense is run dominant. Championship football is great defense and run game. With all due respect, actually check that. No respect due to you. You're a dumbass.
And your mama.
Thank you. Last year, this team was a pass-first football team.
Without a doubt.
It was what they were. In the same system, champ. Because of who they had. They quickly understood, that's C.J. Stroud. We got these receivers. We're going to be pass-first. We're going to throw the football. And you would have been screaming to the top of your dumbass lungs that, why are they running the football? Why are they handing it off? No. He led football in yards per game passing. You came in this year and you got Nico Collins and you gave him $25 million a year. You brought in Stephon Diggs with Tank Dell. And you gave $12 million to Dalton Schultz when you had C.J. Stroud, who was a MVP candidate as a rookie. No, sir. They're going to throw the football. You added Joe Mixon. Yes, this team was not built. This team was not built, Clint. And you know it for Joe Mixon to be the MVP of the offense. Was it? I know you're feeling really good over there typing up whatever you're typing up. But you, sir, sound stupid. So while you think we dumb, your ass is dumb. I'm done with the gloves.
You took the gloves off?
I am. I'm done. That's fair. I try to be because I know some of you all are sensitive. Many of you are. And I'm told about it often. It'd be nice to you guys. No. You can't handle it. Go listen to something else. I know I'm not supposed to say that either. Whatever. I mean, because to me, if you looked at this team, you thought this team is built. Hey, it's the Kubiak Shanahan system. All right, now we're going to run the football. Do you see Terrell Davis and that offensive line back there? Is that how this team was built? You see Tom Nalen? You see Zimmerman? I don't know. I had that many Denver Bronco linemen right there. Tom Ruin as the punter, I think. But no, man, this team was built to throw the football.
Slareth, wasn't he on there?
Slareth, yeah. Stank was on there. There you go. But, I mean, obviously, listen, you're right. It looks right. Damn sure tomorrow, dropping back and throwing that bad boy with Tank Dell and Robert Woods and Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie. That's probably not it. But, Nico, I'll be damned. That one's just hard to accept. Speaking of that, Clint, it is Drop the Tape Tuesday, and I know you watched the tape, and I am interested because I think the number one thing that I want to know from you, from what you watched, and you've got a different eye than the rest of us, is did Kenyon Green look as bad as we thought Kenyon Green looked? And is it a deal of, hey, if you remove him out of there, maybe the offensive line ain't great, but it absolutely fixes a ton of things. I got to hear that. Drop the Tape Tuesday coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I guess it is Wednesday, isn't it? Remember, I'm into that Tape Drop Tuesday, Anna.
Yep, wind down Wednesday.
Well, I thought you because they moved the game up, it's a Thursday night game, I thought you were just playing theater of the mind, you know?
Yeah, no.
Just playing with the schedule a little
creativity.
Bit.
Creativity.
Nah, Courtney just told me it's Wednesday.
But yeah, no, it's actually Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. Tape Drop Tuesday action. But, and I think I want to get your thoughts on it, and I think a lot of people do want to hear your thoughts, as I know you look through the tape, the All-22 that comes out, and Kenyon Green is the big thing there. And what did you see there? Was it as bad as you thought? Because it was clear he was the one who got pulled. He is the one that you have heard be, at least this week, be the reason why the offensive line is terrible. I just saw someone, literally the last text on the 5-Hour Energy fan text line is, do you guys think you're going to get a guard before the trade deadline? Was it as bad or worse than what you saw, what you thought you saw?
No, it was not as bad as
really? What That's
we
good.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the deal.
Pointed up.
In no way, shape, or form am I going to try to paint a picture that it was good. But but it was, you know, like in my mind, as especially as watching it at the same time the fans are watching it, right? You know, the play where I think it was number 90, just right after he went back in the game, I think, you know, just beats the hell out of him and belly flops on CJ, right? I mean, I think it was Grover, right? I mean, he literally sets him and hands him to the center. And now I don't know why he left him, why he went and tried to help Laramie. I don't know. I still don't understand what the hell's going on there. But he literally handed him to the center, and then the center just let him go. And now I'm sure that has a lot to do with Kenyon as well. But that looked like in real time, it looked like Kenyon just got beat immediately and just allowed a D lineman to belly flop. That's Kenyon and Juice. That's a level of softness that both of them got to be better. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of Kenyon and Juice really, really struggling.
So it's not just a deal from what you're seeing that Kenyon Green is clearly the one and the reason why.
I'll put it to you. He's not playing good. I mean, and he deserved to be benched. I understand why he was benched. I get it. But the thought now moving forward that it sounds like he's going to be the guard Thursday night, I still don't like him versus Quinn and Williams. But to D'Amico's point yesterday is, you know, they won six games with Kenyon Green at guard. They can go win this game with Kenyon Green at guard. Does that mean it's going to be pretty? No. But it's not near as bad as everybody's making it out to be. And I understand why. I'm not saying anybody's wrong. I'm just saying it's not like the walls are caving in bad. Should they be shopping to get a better guard in free agent? I mean, in the trade deadline? Absolutely. Should they play somebody else? Whether it's Titus or Broker or Green or Patterson when he gets healthy or whatever, or slide Juice to guard, yeah, there's a chance that could happen. I'm not saying that any of that is off the table. What I'm saying is the walls caving in thought of like, oh my God, what are they going? Like, that's the Kenyon Green situation is not a situation where you're going to remove him from the equation and all of a sudden everybody's going
to
be great.
That's the point that I'm trying to get to is. If he is removed, how much, like, is it to you a significant jump, or are there other people across that line that are also kind of getting kind of hiding behind how much is going towards Kenyon?
Yeah, look, I just think they're all struggling. I think Kenyon's struggling from he's struggling more, slightly more than most of them, but you know, there's I mean, Shaq Mason gets de-cleated and set in CJ's lap. Juice Scruggs, as I said multiple times, is just, I mean, like, just willingly opening his hips and getting turned sideways and the pockets collapsing. There's several plays where, yes, Kenyon was the first one to get beat, but there's three defenders that are meeting at CJ Stroud's head. I mean, that's a big issue.
It almost became a point where you were just almost focusing on 76.
Right.
And seeing that and maybe missing the other stuff that was happening.
No question. So I think that number one is I'm after watching the film, I'm less concerned about this Thursday night if Kenyon Green is on the field. I don't think it's going to be pretty if he is on the field. I don't like the matchup. I don't think they should go in there and throw the football 12 of the first 16 times and set the kid up to fail. I don't think they should do that. But watching the film, there were good plays in there. There were good double teams with him and Juice. There was good times when he helped Laramie. There was some good, you know, run fits where he did his job and it was serviceable. It's not good. Their teams are going to get they're going to put their best defensive lineman on him and they're going to get home at times, and it's something that they're going to deal with. But I am less concerned right now about Kenyon Green than I was yesterday. I was thinking before I watched this film, like, man, I don't know how they put him on the field this week. Like, yeah, I don't know how.
That's where I am. That's why that's where I came with the thought of maybe they need to do something that I would be completely against. That would be a better.
I agree with you. Your point is very valid. If I would still make a move because you can be better at guard. But the simple fact of the matter is that if they don't make a move. just sit tight and hang on. It's not going to be pretty, but you can win a game. You're not going to lose the game because Kenyon Green is still on the football field. You may lose the game because the pass protection is not good, but you're not going to lose the game because Kenyon Green is on the football field. I would imagine they're going to have a much better plan than what they had last week. The other part of that Kenyon Green thing is there's a couple other things on film that we need to get to too, Ron, but the other part of that is Jarrett Patterson winning a game. And while Jarrett Patterson appears to maybe work a little harder,
he's a backup quarterback now. Everybody loves him.
Be a little more active. He still got set in CJ's lap a couple times. He still got a lot of help from Juice. He got a lot of help from the running back on one play. You know, he still struggles with, I don't know, it makes me think that this is how they're coaching it. Like when they double in the run game, when they double up to a linebacker, I mean, it's almost like they're avoiding the damn D tackle and getting up there instead of giving him a shoulder, letting that tackle or letting that center get on him before they go to the next level. Their double teams are garbage, and it's with Kenyon and with Jarrett Patterson in there. You saw it a couple of times. So the thought that Jarrett Patterson is going to be the answer at left guard, I don't think that's it either. I double down on if there is a move to make when Patterson gets healthy, it's Patterson at center, Juice at guard, and then you see what happens from there. But I'm just not knocking any opinions because I agree wholeheartedly with all the moves that need and should be made. I think Bobby should, if he comes out and throws it 12 the first 16 times, I think D'Amico should bench him. I think he needs to be talked to. but we're going to be – Kenyon Green at left guard is going to be all right. We can win a game Thursday night with Kenyon Green at left guard.
All right. All right, we'll hear some more as the show goes on about what you saw from that All-22. Coming up next, we'll hear from the quarterback you'll be facing tomorrow. Apparently, he's got something new that may fix things. You don't want to miss what that could be. And back to the big story of yesterday. Was Sunday the last time we see Stephon Diggs in a Texans jersey? We'll discuss that next.
Fresh out of the punch of karma.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. As we get set tomorrow, get a little Thursday night football as the Texans take on the Jets, a Jets team that's cornered, that has to have it, that needs to have it, and
it's that simple.
And the Texans, they can continue to add things on. It feels like it's almost a deal about seeding. We're almost getting close to that point with the Texans that it's about seeding, as opposed to, hey, what are we going to do in the playoffs? It seems like they've got a big lead to that right now. All right. Fellas, I want to get your thoughts. 713-572-4610. Those of you on the 5-Hour Energy fan text line, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, that, you know, they converted all of this to make this a 1-year deal for Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, in a way, betting on himself to try to get another big contract after having this year. And listen, he was 7th in the league in receptions, 2nd on the team in yards behind Nico. Solid performance. Obviously, not to the level that he was in Buffalo, but still, obviously, this cat can play ball and can be a big help to teams. But do you think next year the big help that he will be with the Houston Texans? Do you get a sense? Do you feel like we've seen the last of Stephon Diggs? Do you think that he may be back here next year?
I've changed my mind on this because I think you asked me that right after it happened, and I said I think he's done. But I think there's a really good chance he's back.
Diggs was open.
Yeah,
I think this injury, Ron, and the style of play that you mentioned, I think it's very, you know, fair or foul. I think it's very obvious that Stephon Diggs is not going to be viewed from the outside looking in or by his representation. I just don't think he's going to be viewed as the guy that was tearing the league up in Buffalo.
Yeah.
When it comes to how much money is this guy going to command in this next contract. And so I think if he were, and maybe he is, maybe I'm wrong, I think if the money gets up there, I think Nick and D'Amico move on from him. But I
this injury may slide him into...
This injury, along with the style of football that he that we've seen him play, kind of how they were using him in, here in Houston, I think it could put him in a spot where he's got a... There's a reasonable number out there for a 3 years run. And I think the Texans... I think the Texans brass, I think they really, really value and are bought into everything that he's brought to the table, from mentoring young players to being the hardest working dude on the field to showing that he can play the game and not be the diva that you know, the reputation that followed him here, at least for a year he did. So I've moved from no chance, I think he moves on, to I think there's a real chance. I think he is precisely what this organization wants to reward. And when Nico's really the only guy you're paying,
so you're telling me
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah, text line coming through. He will go to a contender, but the money has to be right. Well, the Texans are a contender, and you would imagine we'll still be a contender next year. And I'm more or less with you as well, Clint, because I think the injury brings him back potentially into the money area where the Texans would be comfortable to spend.
Yep.
And I think also a lot will determine on how Tank plays the rest of the way out. Like, if Tank plays, and we can talk about that at some point, finds his level back to where he was last year, well, maybe they may say to themselves, yes, as a younger guy that may be getting in the way here, and we could do this and draft somebody and go and spend this money elsewhere. But I do think, as you said, they like him. I think he likes it here, which is a big deal. And why wouldn't you like Houston? Athletes love living in Houston and being in Houston. And, I mean, it's hard not to just, if you're a player, to like the vibes here and like what D'Amico and Nick and the McNair family are putting together. So I think from his end, you know, unless somebody just blows him away, Clint with money, but I get the sense that he don't want to be in a situation where, hey, the Raiders are going to give me a ton of money, but I'll go play there. No, I think he's beyond that.
It is interesting because I do think there's a CJ factor here too.
Yep.
You know, I when you look at how CJ plays the game, and forget about him being so pressured, the fourth most pressured, the fourth most sacked, the fourth most knocked down quarterback in the league this year. Forget that part of it. Just the way in which he plays the game, man, as a wide receiver, you literally, and I know people don't like when D'Amico says this, but you literally just got to get open. Like, whether it's you or the system, and you're beating man or you're sitting down in a zone, if you're open, the majority of the time, C.J. Stroud's going to find you. And he throws a very friendly football, very catchable football, damn sure for Diggs relative to what he was catching out of Josh Allen's hand. That's a damn – it's got to be a brick coming out of that sucker's cannon. I think there's a C.J. Stroud dynamic here in terms of Diggs wanting to be back. I do, though, Ron, there is part of me that thinks that Houston is going to have to battle some of the bigger markets. Because after Minnesota, Buffalo, and Houston, Diggs does strike me as the kind of guy that, boy, L.A. would turn him on. Boy, you mentioned Vegas. Vegas would turn him on. I do wonder if he would entertain one of these bigger markets to end his career in, just from a life perspective.
Maybe. I don't know if the bigger markets per se, but
brighter lights,
if there are contenders in which he still could be the top guy, I think he could go. I think he came here thinking he would be the number one receiver.
Probably.
I think we said it before. But he got here and Nico clearly was that. But you brought up L.A., he could go to the Chargers, contender. Right now, they're 4-3. They're probably a contender. Good quarterback, coach. Who's the number one receiver over there? McConkey? I think he is. Like that's
he just went off on me in fantasy.
Yeah, at least he's definitely the future. What's the other kid? Palmer kid's a good. He's a good.
Yeah, but player. I mean, but you go there. Yeah, you go there. You'd be like contender. I'm in L.A. like stuff like that, where he may be able to, where he's getting the balls. Like, I think, yeah. like, he wants the targets.
Yeah.
Like, those could be.
The overall point being, I just think, for me personally with Diggs, I think the outlook has changed. Like, I don't know that his representation or the NFL look at him as the guy that was stretching the field with Josh Allen. Like to me, that's just I don't know that he's still there. And even if he is,
two-time All Pro,
even if he is, it's not in the Jefferson and Jamar Chase and you know that Mike Evans that kind of like stretching the field that way. It's not there. He's not. It's a different animal. So,
we've hit 30 with an ACL.
Yeah, I think they really really like him here, bro.
I could
see him being, and I'd be down with it. I think he compliments the hell out of. Out of Nico Collins really, really well.
Yeah, he seemed that there was never that like there's no situation of, you know, he's annoying or he's annoyed, excuse me.
Yeah.
Or the case with Buffalo, they were annoyed with him and clearly they wanted to part ways. It does not seem like that is the situation.
Well, remember, they're 6-2. So you avoided a lot of the adverse situations that in the past have, I think, triggered those kinds of things. So you avoided it. So, but I think they bought in. I think their claws are sunk in. I think they believe that this is the digs that they would get longer term.
Yeah, I do. As I said, I do think the Tank Dell.
I agree wholeheartedly.
That's
if
a
Tank Dell goes off in the next like, handful
yeah,
of games.
If,
yeah,
if Tank Dell shows like he can be. What they envision Steph to be or what he is, like that's a deal of like, well, that's not a place where we need to allocate money. Like we got it. Like, you know, we got it or we can draft somebody at a receiver. I can hear Ocho now. We could have drafted Brian Thomas at receiver next year that could be the third guy. That's a much, much cheaper option for them. All right, coming up, one of my favorite movies growing up, What About Bob? I think that is you'll know about that with Richard.
And I'm
Dreyfuss.
A movie guy, but yeah, I don't got that one.
There's some people listening who know about What About Bob, but Richard Dreyfuss and Bill Murray. But I think there's some questions about Bobby Slowick. I think a couple. Has he coached himself out of being a potential head coach next year through the first 8 weeks? And do we need to take a step back? Are Texans fans being a little too hard on Bobby Slowick, applying too much of the blame on him? Let's talk about Bobby Slowick coming up next.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!